flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Let's see, today on the radio show, we've had to adjust. We have had to adjust because, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. You'll be glad to know. Big Grizzly game tonight. We'll talk to him. Talk to him about that. And then it is Thursday. And on Thursdays on the Jeff Calkins show, we do Righter Than Right Trivia. And the key, there's really two keys to Righter Than Right Trivia. Well, three keys to Righter Than Right Trivia.
You're giving away the game plans? Jeez.
First, Jeffrey. Jeffrey is a central part of Righter Than Right Trivia. He gives his name to the name segment, and he wins every week. So Jeffrey is, without Jeffrey, let's be honest, the most essential piece to Righter Than Right Trivia.
There was no win Ben Stein's money without Ben Stein.
Secondly, the prize, the fabulous prize.
And shout Cindy, out to Cindy DeBarber.
Cindy, who by every the way, week. Her birthday, I think.
Ooh.
I think, am I making that up?
I can tell Jeff's been on Facebook.
I think it might be. I do appreciate. Let's just see here. I do. Yep. There you go. Cindy's
happy birthday
to today. So the fabulous prize package is a central component. Indeed, I don't think we do it without the fabulous prize package.
No, definitely.
Pretty clear. What is today's fabulous prize package?
Jeff, we've got two tickets to go see Kane Brown at the Bank Plus Amphitheater. That will be on July the 25th. Of this year.
That's a good.
Another win them before you can buy them.
Summer concert. Mm-hmm. That's great. Big show. Kane Brown. And so that's the second key element. Notice I'm not a key element, but there is a third key element, and that is Kevin Cerrito.
Yes.
Who is the maestro of fun and games. He pops on here. He's got all the questions. He's the MC. He runs the whole thing, explains the rules, deftly takes us through it. Kevin Cerrito is absolutely critical to this game we play every Thursday. And injury report, Jeffrey.
Yeah, he's on the injury report. He's on the DL. He has lost his voice. If you're also in Kevin's line of business, that's a problem.
That's hell. It's not an Achilles, because an Achilles will be you know, a long recovery, but it is.
You can't play through it.
Can't play through it. So, so here's what's going to happen. Right now, you know how many trivia questions we have, Jeffrey?
We have zero, Jeff.
We have zero trivia questions, but we have breaks. We've got breaks, don't we?
We do indeed, Jeff.
And so and I've done this before. I've stepped in next man up and been the trivia maestro master is not right. I've muddled along. I've never had to do it on such short notice. So I don't know what the questions are going to be like, but someone's going to win Kane Brown tickets if you just play honorably.
No, the good news is if you're writing the questions, going to miss them.
Yeah, that's true.
Correct.
That is true, too. So it's a happy development
yes.
from y'all's perspective, and that is the lineup. Today we got Chris Herndon straight up at 10 o'clock, then Writer Then Write Trivia. The show must go on, and so we will do that. Obviously, just some horrific news from Washington, D.C., last night, where a plane was hit by a helicopter, American Airlines plane hit by a Black Hawk helicopter. And this was unfolding last night. I'm sure you saw it. You just have this sinking feeling whenever you hear of such a thing. It's been a long time since there's been a domestic plane crash of any great commercial, you know, significance. I think 2009 was the last one.
That sounds right.
2009. But this absolutely horrific. And you wonder how the hell it could happen. 64 people, I think, is what they said. 60 passengers, four crew members, and then three on the Black Hawk, all dead. They're no longer. It's no longer calling it a rescue mission. They are calling it a recovery mission. And so it's just absolutely horrific. Obviously, the story, and if you've seen them, it's been hard to avoid it. A lot of figure skaters, members of the figure skating, the U.S. and particularly Russian figure skating community. There is a couple who were 1994 world champions from Russia, and I think they were there with their son. Because there was a figure skating event in Wichita. The plane was coming from Wichita, and there was a figure skating event in Wichita for younger figure skaters. And so you just think of all these families, and they're talented, incredibly gifted, ambitious, you know, figure skating kids, and in one moment, it's over, you know, this rescue mission, there are divers who are diving down and literally unstrapping people from their seats. I mean, what a horrific thing. Those people just flying along one moment, and now they're being unstrapped from their seats. And what a horrific thing to the divers and everybody involved. So a devastating turn of events. You wonder how the hell it could happen. I guess what the conversation seems to be is surprised that it hasn't happened before or doesn't happen more often, given particularly the traffic above major municipal airports, and then increasing drones and air taxis and all this stuff. And we don't know for certain what happened, but it appears just, again, I'm certainly, like, at least the talking heads who are on TV are at least experts in this field. I'm an expert on nothing having to do with any of this. But it appears that the control tower told the Black Hawk folks to see the plane and pass behind it. Like, that was it. Everyone was doing what they're supposed to do. And hey, there's a plane. Go look at the plane and get visual
confirmation
of the plane. And so the theory is, at least, that that's what the pilot of the Black Hawk helicopter did, only it was the wrong plane.
Yeah. Because there was a video that came out. You could tell there was like
multiple planes.
Yeah.
Right. So, I see it. I'm not going to hit it.
Yeah.
And then hit the other one. Hit the one from Wichita. So absolutely devastating. You think about the families, you know, when you hear about that, you have what, plane crash? Oh, wait, from where to, oh, no, my kid, you know, just absolutely devastating. So and the mood, the rain out there fits the mood of the day. Does it not, Jeffrey?
Absolutely.
As we have pouring rain. So that is tough. We do have, Jeffrey, two very big basketball games tonight. It's an interesting thing, Jeffrey, because the other day we were talking about, we even did a Jeff Calkins show poll. Which are you more worried about? The Grizzlies, how the Grizzlies play against good teams, or how the Tigers play against bad teams? And I was, Drew Hill, who I love, incredibly talented reporter, writes about the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. He came at us over this poll. Did you see that?
Yeah, he was publicly, not a fan.
Publicly. He disavowed the poll.
Yes.
I didn't really understand why he was disavowing it at the time. I thought he was indicating that you shouldn't be worried about either, or I didn't know what he was. I've subsequently talked to him about it. And he disavowed the poll because he thinks it's totally was so obvious that it is, in fact, appropriate to be worried about the Grizzlies' record against good teams and not at all appropriate to be worried about the Tigers. He just thought it was too obvious a poll. That's why he was disavowing it. And it is true. I voted that way. I'm much more concerned about the Grizzlies against good teams than I am about how the Tigers and bad teams. But what's interesting tonight is we have both.
Correct.
We got it all, ladies and gentlemen.
30 minutes apart.
Whatever's hiding under your bed, we have that. Yes, and they're both starting incredibly late. I mean, relatively speaking. This is not your 6:30, 7 o'clock start. Over on TNT, we got the Grizzlies at 8:30. But before then, on ESPN2,
heard of that as the Deuce, Jeff.
The Deuce. Okay, we'll start that way. We'll do chronologically. We got the Tigers on the Deuce at 8. And then we got the Grizzlies on TNT at 8:30. That is a basketball extravaganza for the city of Memphis, is it not?
Beats the alternative.
Beats the alternative.
I do wish we could start spacing games out more.
I was irritated, I'll be honest, that one of these games didn't start at 6:30.
Correct.
Like, come on, man. Seriously? We need them both to start at 8 o'clock? So, or 8:30.
The things we do for television dollars.
The things we do for television dollars. Here's the weird thing about this. Sometimes we ask this question, which is the bigger game? Which is the more important, however you want to phrase it. But I think how you phrase it is
how you answer it.
Is how you answer it.
Yep.
Because there's no question that which is the bigger game? It's the Grizzlies and the Rockets. Right here at FedEx Forum, it's the Grizzlies and the Rockets. This is a significant game nationally.
Well, it also matters to the team.
Matters to the team. Well, it certainly matters to the team. Matters to the community. It's a relevant game nationally. It's on national television. Like for all
Dylan
the reasons,
hit 10 threes last time out.
Dylan. Well, they played Atlanta subsequently,
yeah.
But two games ago. Yeah, I mean it is a. Really, we'll return to that in a minute for all the reasons that it's big, it is the bigger game. But if you're asking me to which franchise would be more damaged by a loss, it's not close.
Correct, because
in the end, here's the thing: you can call this a must-win game all you want for the Grizzlies, and it is must-win for my psychology and my mentals. It is a must-win for your mentals out there in the listening public in Grizzland, Grizz Nation, whatever you want to call it. It is not a must-win. If in the end, Jeffrey, they lose this game, let's say they end up finishing third in the West,
okay,
which is where they still are, and which is after losing the game where they would still be if they were to lose the game.
And they have to pass the Rockets anyway.
And they play a seven-game series. There's nothing about this game that will determine how that series goes. It just won't. Like, that series will be that series. There might be a psychological block. But do you really believe in, like, I think if you're losing to the Rockets, it's not because of a psychological block. It's because they're more physical, tougher, whatever, than you are.
Yeah, there's a matchup issue.
There is. In fact, this is not a must-win game.
No, I think that's fair. I there's very few NBA regular season games that are must-win.
Right. You get a must-win game if it's the end of the season and you're deciding whether you're making the playoffs or not, or maybe for seeding, or whether you're making the play-in, sure, or whatever else. I guess at that point you've got must-win games. There are no must-win games. This is not a must-win game, but it is a massive game. Whereas for the Memphis Tigers, If they lose this game, it will be very damaging. It's not nearly as high profile a game. In fact, let's walk you through these games. We'll do them in chronological order, Jeffrey.
All right.
First, the Tigers playing Tulane. Again, 8 p.m. on ESPN2. Tulane, 151 in the net, 145 in KenPom. It is a quad three opportunity. We'll call it a quad three opportunity. Okay? Tulane is not good. They've lost to Furman. They've lost to Belmont. They've lost to Southeast Louisiana, among others, in the non-conference schedule. Oddly enough,
they lost to New Orleans.
Like UAB, they've been better in the conference, which may tell you something about the conference.
Correct.
Like, here we talk to ourselves, like, UAB, they're really coming together. They really, turns out, they get into conference play. They're really the team that we, no, what they are, they're playing crappy conference schools, it turns out. Maybe that's it, right? But whatever.
Their schedule softened.
So their schedule softened. So anyway, Tulane is 11-9, but they're 5-2 in conference. So maybe, and if you look actually, like overall, they're number two in offense in the American and number three defensively in the American. Like in the American, they're one of the teams. And by the way, Memphis is no longer leading the American because North Texas won last night. So North Texas is 7-1 and Memphis is 6-1. So anyway, so you got a Tulane team that, let's be honest, not a good Tulane team. And honestly, totally reconstructed on the fly, just like Memphis, basically. Their best player is a transfer from Indiana. Caleb Banks, averaging 17.5 points a game. You think I know this because I've watched Tulane play?
No.
That's exactly right. Rowan Brumbaugh from Georgetown, averaging 14.5 minutes a game. Parthapadhyay tells me, this is critical information, Jeffrey, that the average height of the Tulane player, 78.2 inches.
Nice.
The average height of the Memphis player, a mere 76.5 inches.
Uh-oh, we're giving up length?
Definitely giving up length. But here's the main thing. You've lost three in a row at Tulane. You haven't won at Tulane since December of 2020. That is I've heard it said, now, all they have to do is come out with the same intensity that they did on Sunday. I'm here to tell you, there is no chance at all they will come out with the same intensity that they did Sunday.
Jeff,
why would they?
Well, you're walking into the hornet's nest of Fogelman Arena.
You are walking into a small, you're practically driving through a neighborhood.
Jeff, intimate.
Thank
you. Claustrophobic,
whatever. It's you can make it sound scarier, you know, claustrophobic, whatever. Fans are right on top of you. Hell, they've lost three in a row there.
Yeah, Tulane was better.
But so, yes, this is once again, it is, which is like so many of the Memphis Tiger basketball games, it's like jumping over a crevasse that is 1 foot wide. You could do that, couldn't you, Jeffrey? Jump over
I most certainly hope so.
Or even 2 feet wide.
But I would hope so.
60 feet deep. So you got to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't, it's a hell of a steep fall. And that is what you're dealing with. It is another, oh my God, I hope they don't lose game for the Memphis Tigers.
The problem is that's their conference.
It is their conference. And it is, but I don't know. Here's the question. Do you expect a more inspired effort than we saw in the conference and a more inspired start and effort than we saw in the conference games before the UAB game, but between the Florida Atlantic game and the UAB game? Or do you expect more of the same? Oh, my God, I can't believe they're doing why are they throwing the ball all over the place? Oh, my God, what a stupid – who are you throwing to? What are you doing? I can't believe this. 10 trips down the court, 5 turnovers. Do you expect that? Or do you expect they have learned their lesson? I'm just going to be an optimist. I expect something better than what we saw against Wichita Temple. I expect something better.
I didn't think the effort was bad against Temple. I did think that, I mean, they obviously got killed on the glass, but I actually think.
Need I remind you the inch difference? Between Tulane and Memphis, right?
They've been pretty good on the road. The thing that's been a little more interesting to me this year is like they have a couple of big performances at home. But I feel like they've been more consistent on the road.
Well, now's another opportunity, as I expect a. And hey, this is a chance to go down there, and you know you've lost three in a row. That should sharpen the mind, shouldn't it, Jeffrey? That should focus you. And
how many people are involved? Nick's lost one.
Right. Anyway, there you go. Memphis against Tulane. That's
heck, even the coaching staff hasn't.
That's on the deuce.
Other than Penny.
That's on the deuce at 8 p.m. tonight. I expect a better effort. And I expect by the time the Grizzlies crank up at 8:30, a game's going to be well in hand.
Yeah, I mean,
we can focus on the main event tonight.
I am curious to know if Sunday, by putting Dane back into the starting
lineup.
And that
obviously will happen, and yes.
Did that change something, or was that Dane just having a good game? Like, I want to know if that
I'm interested
structurally
if
changed
Dane them. Can continue to be effective
yeah.
while limiting the turnovers. Because at some points he tries to do too much. He was incredibly efficient, among other things, on Sunday.
I would like to implement a red light for him on passing. Unless it's a direct kick out to somebody wide open.
So, Grizz tonight, 8:30 TNT. So, we have all the elements here, Jeffrey.
I mean, it does feel like a big game.
Absolutely. Like, there is no must game, and there are no must win games in the NBA, or very few in the NBA regular season. But, having said that, what do we have here? We've got two teams that are competing for the same spot in the standings, right? Like the Rockets are number two, the Grizzlies are number three. So literally, if it were just that, that would be a big game.
Sure.
Okay? You've got national TV. Let's be honest. We still care about that. This is Memphis. They're on TNT. That makes it a big game. You've got the fact that they have beaten you three straight times, and not just beaten you three straight times, kind of punked you. Beating you every way they can. Like they routed you the first two, and then the last two were the first one. They routed you the first game. The last two were both obviously close. And so they've beaten you three straight times. And you're coming off a humiliation against the Knicks, totally unrelated to the Rockets.
100% agree.
So you've got the standings, you got the national TV, you got your record against the Rockets, you got the humiliation against the Knicks, and then you've got Jaws Mentals, too, on top of it, which we were talking about yesterday and the day before.
I would also add...
And Dylan Brooks and Steven Adams.
And the Grizzlies' performance against good teams.
And the Grizzlies' performance against good teams, which, again, here you go. Again, this is from Drew's story today. Top three teams in the East, Cavs, Celts, and Knicks, right now in the standings, right?
Yep.
Top three teams in the West, Thunder, Rockets, and Grizz. They are 1-5 in games against top three teams. 1-5. Now, there's excuses for some of them. Like Jaren
is also, three of those losses come from one team.
And two losses were blowouts. One, yeah. A blowout by Oklahoma City and a blowout by Houston. Now, you can make excuses. Jaren missed the first game against the Rockets. And Ja missed the game against OKC, and others missed the game against OKC. But I do believe there is a... Oh, we missed another one. And the trade deadline.
Yes.
And this is less than a week before the trade deadline. So, I can't, I don't have enough fingers to keep track of all these things. Let's see. It's at home. I mean, it's at home. It's on national TV. It's the team that's ahead of you in the standings. It's a team you've lost to three times. It's coming off of a humiliating performance against the Knicks. You generally don't play well against good teams. And the trade deadline is looming.
And you generally don't play well against this team.
And Ja, maybe who knows where his mentals are.
Is he back on Twitter?
This is a massive game, so it's not must win. You know, if they lose on a buzzer beater, like you're going to take that and say Grizzlies can't win? No, we will, but we will certainly overreact.
Yeah, I weirdly think this is bigger for the fan base than the team.
I think it may be bigger. Okay, here's the other question. Do you believe this game at all, no matter how it goes, barring injury,
sure,
will have any impact on the Grizzlies doing something at the trade deadline? In other words, in isolation,
yeah.
Does this game, let's say they come out and
does this motivate them to do
something? No, I'll play it both ways.
All right.
Grizzlies come out and they win by 18 tonight.
All right.
Edie looks great.
Love it.
Edie looks great. Like Gigi continues to, like, Gigi's really good, helps with counter some of their athleticism,
perimeter, yeah.
Whatever. Ja is magnificent, totally in control. Jaren is his all-star self. By the way, that's also happening tonight. We'll learn that tonight before the tip of the Rockets game. We'll learn that Jaren, I'm going to go ahead and presume he'll be an all-star. That's another reason it could be big. It's another showcase for Jaren.
I was struggling on this one, though.
What if he got snubbed? Is a snub better? No, we are not going to wish for a snub.
I'm just because it will motivate him. I'm going to ice on the prize tonight.
No.
I don't care about the All-Star game.
No, we will not do that. So they win by 18 convincingly.
All right.
Right? Convincingly, they walk all over.
Everything's fine.
Does that make you less? Do you really believe that in Zach Kleiman's mind, that changes it, as opposed to they lose exactly looking like they did against the Knicks? They look like that same effort against the Knicks, get punked. Do you think those move the needle at all? Is there any, we got it. Do, or in the end, we don't overreact. We look at the deals that are being offered to us. We are always trying to make our team better, and we can't overreact to one game or to a series. Do you think it really has any impact?
So I think the closest answer is, we're not going to overreact one way or the other. I do think, though, if you lose and you have the same problem, which is you just physically get outmatched, I can see where it's not necessarily a loss tonight motivates you, but it helps solidify and gives you another data point that they need to be more physical.
I mean, in the end, it won't. The deals will be the deals. The deals will be there, or they won't be.
Like, I don't think.
Right?
I don't think a loss would cause like a knee jerk. Let's just go make a deal to make a deal. I'm with you.
No, but do you think there could be? Can you imagine that there could be a circumstance that they're hemming and hawing, and this pushes them to do something that they would not otherwise do?
Yes. What I would like to know, though, is internally, how do they feel about Marcus returning and Vince returning? Because there is a universe where they view that as their, if they can't find a deal that they like.
We got news on that. And the news was Vince Williams is week to week. We originally had heard that Vince Williams was
close, I thought.
I think, and we can clarify this with Chris when he comes in here at 10 o'clock, by the end of the month, right?
Today is January the 30th, Jeff.
By the end of the month, and now it is week to week. Well, that's not good.
I mean, to me, it implies either setback or it's just not, it's not healing the way that they presumed.
Whew. What do you think you'll see?
I think we're going to get a good effort tonight. I think this is...
You are going to get a very good effort tonight.
I tend to think that this is one that I'd feel pretty good about.
Now, I don't think it's as simple as what the Tigers did against UAB Sunday. In other words,
just focus on yourself and everything else.
Well, just if what's happened is you've heard the talk. Sunday was, you've heard the talk. You know what people are saying. You know the criticism. This is at home. This is a big game. This is a rival. This is the team that was picked ahead of you. Same thing. Not a nationally a big game, but all the reasons that was a big game on Sunday. What that did was focus the mind, and then the Tigers romped, right? That's simpler because here's the truth. Tigers are a lot better than UAB.
Yes.
So if they focus the mind and eliminate the turnovers, they should win.
No, that was definitely an example of, if you focus on yourself, it will be fine.
given that you are the better team,
totally.
All you really have to do is be focused and you should win. It doesn't mean it would be the romp that it was, like that game.
No, they played well on top of that.
On top of that, Dane Danger was out of his mind.
Well, they
whatever
shot the
else.
Ball. Incredible.
So, but that's for the Tigers, given that the problem was a lack of focus, a big game to focus the mind really took care of things. For the Grizzlies, I don't think we think the problem is a lack of focus. And so all they have to do is focus and take care of things, and therefore they'll be better than the Rockets. It's very possible that, in certain ways, certain physicality and stuff, the Rockets are better than the Grizzlies. So focusing the mind is not enough. I do believe, though, that you will get a good effort. They have heard. We know they've heard. Took down his Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
That's because he's hearing, right? Things about him or the team or whatever
reading.
Else. What? Reading, whatever else. Yes. They have, quote-unquote, heard the talk. They know they were humiliated in New York, in Madison Square Garden. They also know this is on TNT. Absolutely going to get an inspired effort tonight.
Also, it's for Houston, it's the back half of a four-game road trip.
And the thing about Houston is they're a game against Atlanta. They played... and beat the Celtics.
Yep.
Then they had to play a makeup game against Atlanta.
Yes, from the
that
snow,
was rescheduled
right?
because of the snow. So you've got the rest advantage. You've been home. You've been stewing on the loss. I hope you've been stewing. I know I've been stewing. You've been stewing.
I'm not happy.
Not happy.
I wasted two hours and 20 minutes on Monday.
I expect an inspired effort from your Memphis Grizzlies tonight. So it'll be a late night of basketball. It'll be a fun night of basketball. And hopefully we come back. And tomorrow
will 2-0 day?
Tomorrow we'll be talking about 2-0.
Or night, I guess.
I'm not even going to do the stupid. Would you take 1-1? Because no one would.
No, I'm putting it on the line.
It's got to be 2-0.
It's 2-0.
It's got to be 2-0. All right, take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Valentine's Day is, what day did we say it was, Jeffrey? What day did we say today is?
So today is January the 30th.
Man, what day is Valentine's Day?
That would be February the 14th. I believe it's a Saturday this year. Maybe it's a Friday.
So what that means is we don't get a lot of time. And what that means is you should head on over to Robert Irwin Jewelers because right now, if you spend $99 or more, you will also get a free box of chocolates and a free dozen roses. You don't get the roses now because that would be silly. You want them fresh. You get a voucher just to get by and get the roses. And all you got to do is spend $99. Now, I've heard you talking about this too, Jeffrey, because Howie also advertises on your show. And it's interesting what you decide to talk about, Jeffrey. I think yesterday you were talking about the 2-carat lab-grown diamond tennis bracelets.
Oh, yeah. Hot item.
One of the hottest gifts of the season. A mere $7.99. But let's say you want to do the $129 option.
Mm-hmm.
There you've got the Love You to the Moon and Back pendant. Got beautiful, stunning diamonds, diamond essentials, classic collection of crafted solitaire earrings, pendants, bracelets, etc. Starting at just $5.99. If you want to go big, get the engagement ring. Engagement prices started just at $29.99. Plus, you get your box of chocolates, your dozen roses. You will be in Valentine's Day, all in one stop. And, of course, over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, they got 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. Five locations or online at rijewelers.com. We're talking about the Grizzlies, talking about the Tigers. There was some other NBA news yesterday. Jeffrey, yeah, there's a lot. It's sort of a fun time in the NBA because all these trade rumors are flying around. But in the midst of all that, Adam Silver said he's kind of a fan of 10-minute quarters. He would like 10-minute quarters. Now, why do you think he'd like 10-minute quarters, Jeffrey?
So the theories that I had yesterday, you tell me if you like either. To what degree you like these? Theory number one is, television is saying we need these games to be under 2 hours. Like, there has been some odd criticism of how long NBA games are taking, and I'm taking him largely at face value. Perhaps maybe they want to get another TV window, whatnot. Like, it's a television-driven move. Theory number two, it's a way to combat load management. So essentially if we all agree, part of the problem with load management is there are too many games.
Right.
Well, we know we're not getting rid of those. Like, their owners are not giving up tickets. Like, they're just not going to do that. This is a way to effectively reduce 8 games.
It's to reduce wear and tear on players.
Correct.
So it is interesting. So, like, Adam Silver talked about this. He was on with Dan Patrick. And this is what he said. As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of 4 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. Putting aside what it means for records and things like that, yeah. By the way, just putting aside the fact that right. It's going
to
totally blow up all
they have
records
to rework
forever.
Contracts, you know what I mean?
I think a 2-hour format for a game is more consistent with modern television habits. NBA games this season, this is not a quote, have run 2 hours, 16 minutes on average, nearly identical to the past 15 years, according to ESPN research. So it's not like they're getting longer and they're trying to combat that. They just want them to fit into a 2-hour window. He said, I think of a television program being 2 hours, Olympic basketball being 2 hours, and college basketball, of course, is 40 minutes. It's not 2 hours, by the way, a lot of times. But anyway, so that's the idea. Fundamentally, this is driven by TV. Let's be clear. I think there's two real reasons for it. One is TV. Let's get this thing done in 2 hours, right? We have a short attention span. NFL games are 3 hours. NBA games are going to be 2 hours. Let's make it 2 hours. But then I think the other thing you're mentioning is absolutely right. We have been, it's funny when we've been thinking about this, we're like, because you think about all this load management, passing this rule that says players have to play 65 games in order to, like, which, let's be honest, seems ridiculous now, doesn't it?
It
eliminates players who should be up for honors because of how good they are, right? It seems so. Anyway, so
like if somebody misses 20 games for an injury, but he's clearly like one of the 5 best players,
it just seems silly.
Yeah,
it seems silly. So, and then it's forcing players to do things. But so it felt like we were stuck. Like, okay, we know this. We know the real problem here. It's not just the problem with load management. It's the problem with why they're getting injured, the problem with load management, the players not playing in games, fans not being happy because they show up and they're best.
We spent a lot of money and these guys aren't even playing. Yeah.
Flip on the TV and it's a coin flip whether the best players are going to be playing in nationally televised games. So we knew the season, we knew we needed to reduce wear and tear, but you're like, they can't cut back on games because that means less money. They're just not going to. We knew it was a total non-starter.
Right.
The answer that we all knew they should embrace, which is cutting the length of the season, there was no circumstance under which they were going to embrace it. And by the way, the players wouldn't either because they like the most money.
That's cutting
it's
their share.
Less money because we got a revenue sharing here.
Yep.
And so they're not, no one was going to be in favor of cutting the length of the season. So in fact, the argument would be, all right, we don't have to cut the length of the season. We can cut minutes and wear and tear off of the load on players simply by making the game shorter. And furthermore, what it would mean is, like, let's say, I don't know, like, look at the Knicks roster.
Yep.
They play 38 minutes a game.
Yep.
They would literally play almost like you would then see your stars, unless Taylor Jenkins would combat this by having the Grizzlies average 19 mm-hmm. minutes a game, their stars.
You
would have your stars be able to play
21. Come on, Jeff.
Most of the game. Like you would do for those 48 minutes, you would be seeing stat for those 40 minutes.
What do we see in college? And I know there's only two games per week. I understand that, but like most teams, like we're going to see it with the Tigers.
They got an 8-man rotation or a 7-man rotation, and that's good enough.
PJ Haggerty's playing 38 minutes.
Yeah, because it's only a 40-minute game.
Right.
You know, you have more minutes with your best, a greater percentage of your game is being played with the best players playing that game. So. For both of those reasons, I don't care about the TV thing. And by the way, I've never thought, like sometimes I do think about college football games. These games are endless. Sometimes I used to think about baseball games. These games are endless. It has never struck me as a problem, the length of NBA games.
No, and that's
it's
why.
It's never struck me as a problem.
That's what was odd to me. It's like honestly, I think about college basketball games taking longer. Like,
right.
You'll oftentimes see an NBA game that starts at 6 and a college game starts at 6. Despite the fact that it has more minutes.
So it doesn't strike me as a big problem, but I do understand I understand their desire to fit it into a tight 2-hour window. Now, it's true now, if you care about people buying beer and Cokes and hot dogs and stuff, maybe they'll do less of that. Like, but what? So
would
then,
you change maybe the third quarter, like the rule?
Are the downsides to this?
Is it after? Well, the downsides are, I don't know if it would actually limit load management. I still think guys are still it's not going to play.
I think in the end, I think it would limit injuries.
You have fewer minutes on the floor.
Yeah, you're playing.
There's fewer possessions. There's fewer opportunities.
Well, maybe you're not playing fewer minutes on the floor. Maybe you're just playing a greater percentage of the minutes that are played.
Yeah, I mean, I still think like I would be surprised to see like even if like we talk your Knicks example, I'd be surprised to see them averaging 38.
To me, the biggest problem with it, well, there's two problems. Do we really need less basketball? Like, there hasn't been a complaint. I, as you said, I don't think the length of games is a complaint, right? Whether you go to games, whether you're watching games on TV. And so really, less basketball is better? Is that like...
Especially
like,
when you come out...
It's like, isn't it like shrinking the cereal box?
I mean,
like,
to me, it's...
Why
it's,
is that...
It's a lot like when you... Especially when you come right out of football season, it's kind of refreshing when you go to an NBA
right,
game.
Yeah,
like,
boom,
oh, man,
done,
this
yeah.
is...
To me, the biggest problem, though... Is it just totally blows a hole in history? Like nothing is meaningful ever again. Now things change anyway because eras change. You know, 80s basketball was very different than basketball today.
Sure,
there was the 3-point shot. Once upon a time, there wasn't a 3-point shot that blew a hole in basketball too. Like that changed records. Imagine what he would have done had there been a 3-point shot. Like we, you know, whatever. So we do things that devalue records all the time. Look at the NFL. Look at rushing records now or season records in the NFL. You're playing 17 games. I grew up on 14.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the discussion about, I mean, I'm not discussing the man, but O.J. Simpson's 2,000-yard season, like we always...
14 games,
like
baby.
We associate it with Dickerson. Dickerson's like, he did it in 14 games, man.
But do you have a... I do not have a visceral... This is a good idea or this is a bad idea reaction to it. I have a, originally when I thought, that's stupid, why would you do that? And then I'm thinking, well, okay, I see the reasons for it and I see the reasons against it. And it is true. Everybody else plays 40 minutes.
Yeah, my initial reaction was this is kind of another Adam Silver solving a problem that's not really out there. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not vehemently against it. I'm not vehemently for it. I also think it seems like it's something that's unlikely to happen.
While
like,
we're talking
would,
about...
Would contracts be prorated? Like, a lot of these guys have deals like, you know, if you score X amount of points or whatnot, do we have to change the averages?
While we're talking about radical changes to the NBA, if you could go back and start fresh,
okay,
would you have the Elam ending?
I'm going to say no. Even
of course,
though,
for people who forget,
I
the, way it works,
yeah.
the way it works is you play three quarters, right? But isn't it? You play three quarters. You see what the score is. Let's say Memphis.
I can't remember if it's three quarters or you play to a certain period on the clock.
Memphis is up by 10
yep.
at the end of that. Then what you do is you set a target score.
Right.
And so instead of instead of just trying to, and the Grizzlies will have a 10-point head start towards that target score because they earned the 10-point head start towards the target score with the way they played up to that moment. So that's what happens. But then the games always end. There's not a foul fest. You're not trying to, the games always end on a made bucket.
Yeah, but when a game ends on a free throw, it's wildly anticlimactic. I don't have a, like, intellectually, I think it's, it probably gives you
in the All-Star
more
game,
chances
gonna
for
be
exciting.
In the All-Star game, All-Star games, the tournament that they're going to have this year,
sure.
They're going to be doing that. They're going to be playing to a score, to 40, I think.
Yeah, that would require me watching it.
I watch it just to see if there is a different level of intensity. I will watch a little of it this year just to see if there is a different level of intensity.
Well, and there's probably not much on Sunday night anyway, so I'm sure I'll casually check in. I just kind of think, like, the clock is a construct of the game. Like, it's part of...
Okay, you wouldn't change that.
No.
You wouldn't change either of these.
No.
You wouldn't change either. You vote no. You vote no to both of them. By the way, other news last night. We have not discussed it. Big win for Ole Miss. Honestly, just kind of, like, talk about must wins.
Yeah.
They'd lost three in a row, and they got Auburn coming in.
Yep.
Like, and so...
And then the math starts to be like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Where are we getting the wins?
And you got Kentucky coming up. You got LSU coming up again. Then you got Auburn twice coming up. Like, it's... and so that felt like a huge win for Ole Miss over Texas, 72-69. Texas had some good looks at the end, could have tied it, but Ole Miss escapes with that one. Alabama, Mississippi State.
That was an awesome game.
Fabulous. Alabama wins 88-84. And honestly, on that one, Mississippi State should be kicking themselves a little bit. Alabama misses those free three throws down the stretch.
Yeah.
And
they had like
State
a dunk layup.
Had,
I mean, they had
missed the and so that's a tough one for Mississippi State. It is kind of amazing to look up. Whoever would have thought that the state of Alabama would have had two dominant college basketball programs
simultaneously?
Doesn't that seem like, with all due respect to all you Alabama and Auburn fans out there, is there something wrong with that?
I mean, it's not like Auburn football's been killing it.
No, but this is what you're saying. Isn't this a product just the
money?
The money in the SEC?
Yes.
No, mind you, good for Alabama and Auburn. There's money in Florida, too, and there's money in Texas, too, and there's money there's more states in the SEC besides Alabama, and it's the two Alabama basketball programs that are killing it. But it is a product of money.
Correct. And it was always, I think, going to display itself in basketball first because you need fewer players to change your circumstances. And they made, give them credit, like, they made good hires. They have very good coaches.
They both made very good hires. Very good hires. Absolutely. Terrific hires. Anyway, that unfolded yesterday. We're going to have a pretty busy second hour because we got Chris Harrington coming up next. We'll ask him about the Grizzlies, obviously, and Rockets and that game tonight. And then we've got Righter Than Right Trivia. We're going to be giving away tickets to see Kane Brown.
Indeed, July 25th.
So, and I'm coming up with the trivia questions on the fly here. People are texting me trivia questions now, Jeffrey, so that's good. If you happen to have my phone number and want to text me a trivia question, I might just use it. So there you go. We did have some NFL news, including New Orleans still a coach. What's going to happen there?
So I did kind of... McCarthy saying he's focused on 2026. I wanted to know
This is the latest two are Kingsbury and McCarthy both taking themselves out of the running.
I think that's smart for Cliff. I think Cliff needs to just kind of be offensive coordinator for a while.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
But what was your thought on McCarthy?
So with McCarthy, to me, it was either one of two things. Either they said they were going in a different direction.
You think he was preemptively.
Or it's a situation like what we saw with Dallas. Like, they started maybe negotiating and New Orleans wasn't willing to pay. I mean, now it sounds like Kellen Moore.
We hadn't. There's also been a lot of hires made that we haven't talked about because I've been avoiding the NFL. Eberflus goes to Dallas as the DC. I don't hate that.
No, like, I think he's a good defensive coach.
He was a good defensive coach. So I don't hate that at all.
I mean, it is funny. Think about this. His last two offensive coordinators could wind up being head coaches, and he's not.
Oh, that's kind of interesting.
Schottenheimer and Kellen Moore.
And then Aaron Glenn was introduced 2 days ago as the new Jets coach. And
he's bringing Steve Wilks with him.
He's bringing Steve Wilks with him as defensive coordinator and was non-committal on Aaron Rodgers. That seems fine, right, to be non-committal?
So the theory that I saw was that Glenn actually wants him, but the Johnsons don't because they feel like he's embarrassed them.
I see. He has embarrassed them. Well, he has.
No, I mean, yes.
He has embarrassed them.
Correct.
And then, by the way, from the Senior Bowl, Seth, another good day. Strip sack, though, yesterday. That defensive end from Texas A&M coming off the edge.
The one that's, like, really big and
what
fast.
The hell's his
strong.
Name? It's really big. The best quarterback yet, the Louisville guy.
Tyler Shuck.
So the theory now is that QB, is he four? Is he four or is he
so
three?
So the question is,
Milroe's evidently been awful. Milroe has been
so then
awful.
It would be QB3 at this point, unless you believe that Ewers, who's not there, is going to be QB3.
And Tyler Shugg is a 6'5", 224-pound ball spinner, baby, and looks the part, throws rockets.
Yeah, he's wind up, though.
That's why people are excited about him. You mm-hmm. can look at him, and he looks like a guy who
a quarterback in 1998.
He does look like a quarterback in 1998. The Steelers have said they will not bring back both Russell Wilson and Justin Fields.
Well, so that was the other. Is Russell Wilson going to be John's quarterback?
I think there's a good chance that Russell
Wilson. They bury the hatchet?
Is going to go backwards.
Him and Pete Carroll?
We're going to have a Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson reunion.
Gross.
Don't you think? Although it's also very clear, by the way, anyone who thinks that Sam Darnold, quote unquote, cost himself a lot of money at the
end.
They
did not look at the market.
It is very clear he's going to get $100 million, right?
Yes, from someone.
He's going to get, what, 4 years, $100 million?
He's either getting that or he's getting franchised.
Or he's getting 3 years, $100 million. Like, he is going to get, whether it's from the Giants or the Raiders or the Vikings or the Steelers, or he is going to get $100 million from someone.
Titans?
What, the Titans? Yeah.
I mean, especially if they decide, like, you know, Callahan's worked with all the guys that all the Shanny disciples, and so maybe that's the move, and then you take the generational player at the top of the draft or you trade down.
A couple other things in the world of sports before we get to Chris Harrington and then Writer Than Right Trivia. Utah has a hockey team. They're called the Utah Hockey Club.
Okay.
Okay, right now.
I'm aware of this.
They're looking for a name, right?
Right. They've been crowdsourcing that as well. Like
and
you with trivia
questions. They settled on, and I admire this, the Utah Yeti.
Yeah, I actually kind of liked that one. And now, I'm not the world's biggest fan of singular nicknames. Like, I do like my nicknames to be plural, because then it just creates, like, all right, the...
But as a singular nickname,
yeah,
for some reason,
a pretty
Yeti,
good one.
It's not even clear that it is singular. You're like, I like the Utah Yeti.
Is it like deer?
But the Yeti cooler people objected. They've abandoned Yeti. And so now it's Utah Mammoth, which is off. Like, that's the kind of awful singular. Utah. If you want to do a mammoth, call it the Mammoths. Call it the Mammoths.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
The Utah Wasatch.
What? What is that?
It's a mountain range.
Okay.
It's a mountain range out there. Or the Utah Hockey Club.
Honestly, can we agree? Washington football team's better than Commanders.
Washington football team is so much better than Commanders.
And honestly, like, the hockey. Is hockey club better than hockey team? Like, what about Utah hockey team?
I kind of like club. I kind of like club. That's what a
club
stick
just
is
gives me, like rec vibes.
And,
like,
then finally, Caitlin Clark will not participate in the 3-point challenge in the NBA All-Star game because she wants to make her 3-point debut at the WNBA All-Star game. If that is the reason, it's probably more highly calculated than that, but if that is the reason, I admire that reason. That seems correct.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, there you go. All right, Chris Herndon's going to join us on the other side. We're going to play Writer Than Right Trivia. Jeffrey, when are we going to be Kane Brown tickets? You got to play honorably.
Yep.
It's going to be a different game because I got to be the trivia
master. You're going to win.
I'm coming up with these questions on the fly. You got a better shot. What Kane Brown tickets?
July 25th, 2 tickets. Win them before you can buy them. They go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m.
All right. Chris Harrington next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.